Welcome to this edition of Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane here with author and psychologist Dr. James Dobson and Ryan Dobson.
Dad and Luann, we have had a wealth of interesting people on our program, but I think our listeners will be especially intrigued as they get to know our guest today. Mm-hmm. He has such an unbelievable story, and I cannot wait to share it with our listeners. However, I can already tell from what I've read about him that we may cover some material today that might be intense just due to the nature of his profession, and we want to warn our listeners in case they have some children nearby.
Well, joining us today is Bob Hamer, who worked undercover with the FBI for 25 years. You talk about having some stories to tell. During that time, he posed as a drug dealer, a contract killer, a pedophile, a degenerate gambler, and a weapons dealer, among others. He worked to expose such subversive groups as the Sicilian Mafia and the Mexican Mafia, and successfully infiltrated the North American Man-Boy Love Association, one of the truly most wicked organizations in the world. That's, of course, known as NAMBLA. His work resulted in the arrest of 8 members of the inner circle. Bob, you've spent much of your professional life in the dark world of organized crime and things that destabilize society. And in the case of NAMBLA, of an attack directly on children and their welfare. What an incredible career. Prior to that, you were a captain in the Marine Corps as the judge advocate. How in the world did you get into this very dangerous and very difficult work of being an undercover officer for the FBI?
You know what? I did spend 4 years on active duty in the Marine Corps, and the Marine Corps did two things for me. One, they got my wisdom teeth pulled, and two, they taught me how much I hated being an attorney. And it really did give me a warrior ethos. I mean, I wanted to serve a cause greater than myself. I enjoyed being a Marine and what it stood for, but I was looking for excitement, and I didn't find it in the courtroom as a judge advocate. So I applied both to the CIA and the FBI. The FBI truly was an answer to prayer. The CIA had passed. I had taken a personality test with the CIA. They actually scored me a zero. My wife—
On a 10-point scale.
On a 10-point scale, I scored a zero. The psychologist—
How in the world does a person do that? He said devoid of personality is what it says.
The psychologist said he had never seen a zero personality, and my wife, there's two constants in our house. She constantly reminds me to put the toilet seat down, and she constantly reminds me that the federal government declared me a zero personality. But I got into the FBI when the CIA passed, and I never looked back. I spent the next 26 years, and as you said in the introduction, I've done it all. I've never had a midlife crisis. I just became a different persona.
Well, we have a real dilemma for this program, because every one of those areas where you were an undercover officer would be of interest to us, and I think to our listeners. Let's start with NAMBLA. I call it one of the most evil organizations in the world. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. I do. I was an undercover agent in the L.A. Mafia family case, where we took down the top 15 mob guys in L.A. I worked gangs in South Central Los Angeles, purchasing drugs from street gang members. I targeted the second in command of the Mexican Mafia. We arrested him. But the most difficult assignment that I ever had was to infiltrate NAMBLA. I've been shot at. I've shot people. I've had a contract put out on my life. The mob threatened to break my legs and run me over with a car and bury me under the family plan. But NAMBLA was the most evil organization that I ever infiltrated. And one of the most difficult assignment, just because of what the organization stood for and who these men were that we were targeting.
Well, there are people listening to us who really don't know, because it still doesn't get a lot of publicity for the
for the terrible work that they do on their own behalf. Mm-hmm. Explain what NAMBLA really is.
NAMBLA means the North American Man-Boy Love Association. It's a group of men who are sexually attracted to boys, mm-hmm. and essentially they're hiding behind the First Amendment. Ostensibly, the organization claims that the reason they got together was to abolish age of consent laws. As I'm sure most of your listeners are aware, every state has an age of consent so that if an adult has sex with a child below a certain age, even assuming the child says it's okay, it's not okay by law. It's called statutory rape, and that the man who commits that act or the adult that commits that act has committed a crime regardless of whether the child consents or not. And I use consent in parentheses.
That age of consent in the United States, in most states, is about 16, isn't it?
That's correct.
And that means that at 16 years of age, a child can consent to essentially a harmful sexual relationship that the parents can't stop or interfere with. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the law presumes that once you've reached that age of consent, that you can have sex with anyone and that it is no longer necessarily a violation of the law.
Some 16-year-olds are still little boys, mm-hmm. little kids, and yet that's the law. And I think in Spain it's 12. In some countries it's as low as 12.
We discussed this in some of the NAMBLA meetings that I attended where they talked about the different nations and the age of consent in different nations because they thought it was safe to travel to these countries, yeah. you know, depending on what the age of consent
Now, were. When you were in those meetings and they thought you were one of them, they had no idea that you were representing the FBI. What did you hear? What were they saying? What kind of agenda did they have?
You know, it's interesting that the meetings were extremely boring. There wasn't anything criminally being discussed in the meetings. All of the criminal conversations took place during the breaks, during the coffee breaks, during the bathroom breaks, during lunch, at night when we got together. Again, they had these almost esoteric discussions about age of consent and why they believe in no age of consent.
Didn't that make you sick, Bob?
As I said, it was the most difficult case. I'm a father. Mm-hmm. I'm a grandfather. Mm-hmm. I coach baseball. I coach soccer. I taught Sunday school. And I sat there and listened to men talk about what they had done to little boys, mm-hmm. what they wanted to do to little boys, and to justify it. Mm-hmm. The whole boy lover agenda is a fascinating topic because these men, and they refer to themselves as boy lovers or BLs, mm-hmm. they believe that it's wrong to have sex with little girls but not little boys.
Why?
They believe that genetically a little girl is a nester and that a boy is a hunter and a gatherer. So therefore, these men are helping boys to explore their sexuality. Hmm. But it's not proper to help a little girl explore her sexuality. They justified everything, Ryan. Mm. During my 3 years in the organization, there was never one call for lobbying any legislator at any level of government. There was never one call to write letters to the editor trying to get the age of consent laws changed. There was never any effort on the part of NAMBLA to do anything that sort of came within their mission statement. All I saw, particularly during my after-hours meetings with NAMBLA members, was where can we go to have sex with little boys and how can we successfully seduce them? That's what it was. It had nothing to do with a political agenda.
All right. When you were operating as an undercover agent for the FBI in NAMBLA, did you see illegal activity going on? And were you able to bring charges against some of the members when your time was up?
We eventually indicted and convicted 8 members of the group's inner circle. These particular men traveled in interstate commerce to have sex with children.
I was also going to ask if the sex trafficking industry, which is growing by leaps and bounds now, if you know of involvement from NAMBLA or its members in the sex trafficking industry. I mean, these people are going across state lines to have sex with young boys. how are they finding consenting boys?
That the entire investigation, Ryan, began with a travel agent operating out of Los Angeles that was putting together sex tours to Thailand for boy lovers, for BLs. The FBI found out about this, identified the travel agent, and I was called in to work the undercover aspects of this case. Mm. The greatest thing about working undercover is you've got to be one of them without becoming one of them.
Right.
And so I had to get my mindset. I had to learn, you know, regardless of what your role is, be it a contract killer, a drug dealer, whatever, you've got to learn the language. You have to understand their mentality, their thinking, so that you can be believable. And I mean, that's the thrill of working undercover, where you are so good that they believe you're one of them, at least up until the point where you got an indictment to shove into their face.
Bob, didn't that make you feel dirty?
Yeah.
Incredibly tainted just by being there?
Oh, it was. I mean, I wanted to take a shower after being there. Quite honestly, I wanted to walk in with a grenade and just pull the pin and take us all out. I figured I would do more for society if I just took us all out. I think I thought better of it.
The obvious question that is called for at this moment is, what do you say to the parents about their little boys and girls?
You've said this before on your show. I know there are exceptions to every rule. Every child that was successfully targeted by an NAMBLA member, of those that with whom I dealt, never came from a home that had a strong, loving father figure. We're talking about persuasion predators here. We're not talking about the guy who breaks into your house in the middle of the night and snatches your child out of the bedroom. We're talking about men who are persuasion predators, and they are seeking that child who is seeking a father figure.
And you know what? They get really good at it. I mean, they are good at it. They can go to a video game parlor or places where children hang out who are unsupervised, and they can spot the lonely kids there within 20 minutes and have them under their control within 30 minutes. Mm. It is just amazing at how effective they are at reading the needs of children. That's why parents, you must be involved with your kids. You can't work so hard that you don't know where they are or what they're doing, because they are sitting ducks for these predators.
I like to use the acronym ACT, Affirm, Communicate, and Trust. You need to affirm your child, and you need for your child to believe that he's important. We used to always tell our kids when they were little, you know, God made you and God doesn't make junk. But a child who believes that he's loved and important to his parents is less likely to seek the attention and the affection of someone outside the home. Mm. Communicate. You need to have open communication where your child feels as though he or she can talk to you about anything. We used to play a silly game called I Spy at the dinner table. And we'd just say, you know, to my son or my daughter, what did you spy today? And it could be something as silly as, oh, I saw a cat run across the street and almost get hit by a car. But it allowed our children to know that they could talk to us. Mm-hmm. And the third, I think it comes down to Ronald Reagan's theory on communism, trust but verify. Mm-hmm. If someone is paying too much attention to your child, is making inappropriate comments, listen, God gives you that the Holy Spirit, God gives you that gut feeling that says, look, this is wrong. Someone's spending too much time. They're making inappropriate comments. Well, pay attention to that. And pay attention to your children. I mean, there may be a reason why your son doesn't sit on Uncle Harry's lap. And maybe Uncle Harry's got bad breath, but maybe he's done something inappropriate. And your child doesn't feel comfortable being on Uncle Harry's lap. So don't force him to sit on the lap.
Bob, you mentioned the whole absence of having a father in the home. And, Doctor, I know we're scaring some single moms out there right now who are doing everything they can. They're working several jobs, and this guilt is heaping upon them. But what I hear you saying is, do not underestimate the priority that this has.
Yeah, and there are predators all around you. Mm. I wish it were not true, but now that child pornography has proliferated the way it has.
You're not just being an alarmist.
I've spent a good part of the last 15 to 20 years studying this, and I'm telling you, it is real. It is there. And especially through the internet, that there is no shortage of men who will run the risk of finding somebody on the internet and coming to meet a child.
It's shocking. It makes me sad. I've got a four-year-old. As a dad, if my son's playing sports or he's at school or anywhere and I get a funny feeling, I can't prove it. I can't give you an explicit thing that an adult did wrong, but you talk about the trust and the verify. As a parent, I don't want to get into legal trouble, and I don't want to just yank my kid out of every activity when I, you know, feel bad one day. What do I do? How do I verify? How do I figure those things out? And should I be listening to those things?
Well, again, Ryan, I think that's the issue. You know, we can't prove a negative. We can't prove mm-hmm. that someone mm-hmm. is not a pedophile. Mm-hmm. We can certainly prove that he is. I think, again, it's one of these situations where you have that inner feeling that something is wrong, that, again, you just turn up your antennae and you begin to pay a little closer attention to that particular person to see whether, you know, there is something that you need to be on greater alert to protect your child.
And vulnerability for mm-hmm. a child comes out of need.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There is a desire for that parent figure, and if you don't play that role, you're setting your child up.
Well, Ryan, I'm back to the single mom, and you're at the mall with your son, and he has to go to the restroom, and he's 10, 11 years old. You know, you can't go in with him. There's some struggles that these women have that I just want to be sympathetic to. You know, you've got to provide this father figure, but then you have to know if you can trust and verify them. Mm-hmm. And then you're the leading parent. So my heart just goes out to these women.
Yeah. You know what, Luann, I'm just going to be honest here. I am one of those paranoid people. I just am. I know mm-hmm. that there are people out there that would like to harm other people. And if I am in a public place with Laura and she's going to use the bathroom, I will go over there and I'll just say, yell to me when you're in there so I know you're okay. Because I don't ever want to take that risk, and it doesn't take that much time. And if you've got a kid who's 10 years old, just is it embarrassing? Sure, it is, and it's worth it.
Well, and back to the internet thing, even just this morning, you know, my son had to get on to do some schoolwork. He's 13. We have a password on there, and it causes a whole lot of inconvenience. But every single time my 13-year-old wants to get on to even do his science homework, Mom or Dad have to sign him in. It's not convenient, but call me paranoid, Ryan. I will do that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't understand this, but the state of Colorado passed legislation several years ago that allows a cross-dressing man to go into a women's restroom. And can you believe that? There may be a 12-year-old girl in there and this guy walks in. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard.
It is.
And yet there hasn't been an outcry. We complained about it bitterly and nobody seemed to care.
Yeah. Bob, I need to ask you a question. Let's say that there is a parent listening or a pastor, anybody, and abuse does take place. There has been a tendency sometimes to hide it, to not go to the fullest extent of the law because of embarrassment or shame. And I think it perpetuates crime. As a church member or leader or a parent, what should we do legally if we know abuse has taken place?
Well, I think, Ryan, now, fortunately, almost every state has mandatory reporting requirements for certain people. So if you're in a position of authority, such as a teacher or a pastor,
a counselor,
you have to report that to law enforcement if you suspect abuse or if they're you know of abuse. So, I think that's that issue is sort of resolved just because of the mandatory reporting requirements. I think it's maybe a little tougher as a parent because you're worried. And again, it comes back to what Dr. Dobson said: they target these children. And they target the parents as well because they want the situation where when the son comes to you and says, you know, Coach so-and-so did something to me or the teacher said this or did that, you want to say, oh, you know, Coach Smith, he really loves you boys. And they target the parent so that the parent doesn't want to believe the child. Mm-hmm. And that sort of comes back to this open communication. If you can develop this open communication with your children that they know that they can talk to you about anything, then you don't have to sort of like the cry wolf episode.
Right. Right.
But you have to understand that they target the parents as well as the children because they want that built-in defense. And Dr. Dobson, you're well aware of this too. Oftentimes, it's not every child. It may only be one person on that in that classroom or one person on that athletic team. And you have 8 or 10 others that say, well, the coach
nothing
never bothered
me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Ryan, you know this. I think, Luann, you do too, that in my new book, Bringing Up Girls, I take a very controversial stance that some parents have understood and a few have not. But I've said that the day of the sleepover is over.
Yep.
You can no longer afford to take a chance by sending a vulnerable girl or boy for a sleepover because it may be that throughout childhood, not one single incident will occur, but one failure will scar that child for life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can't take the chance that the brother will abuse a little girl, or that the brother's friend will, or that the stepfather will, or in some cases the father will do that, or an uncle or a neighbor or somebody who drops by. And, you know, it only takes one incident for you to regret it for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And my recommendation as parents is you just can't take that chance.
Doctor and Bob, you've both talked a lot about the vulnerable boys being chosen. It just strikes me as a parent, again, back to my 13-year-old, he's playing on a basketball team right now through the YMCA, so all of these things that you would think perfectly wonderful. But I am struck right now, I'm thinking of two boys that play on that team, 13, 14 years old, who their parents never are in there. I always see these children, their children, standing by themselves at the door waiting for dad to come, that kind of thing. And I don't want to be critical of them, but it does occur to me that there are those of us who should watch out for these other kids. Okay, I'm taking care of my own, but I also want to step in and start having that eye, that ability to recognize these other children who are getting left out. There are things I can do to kind of be that second set of eyes for them.
I think absolutely that's a good point, that you can take that and not even necessarily being the mentor or the big brother or the big sister, but just the idea that you're looking out for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do see something that seems out of the ordinary, that you take action just by contacting the parents. And again, I'm not here to make you paranoid. I mean, the chances are that those two boys that you talked about will never encounter a sexual predator that will actually act out upon that.
Well, Bob, this has been very informative, especially for parents today, but there's a whole lot more we need to talk to you about. You flew here from San Diego to be with us today. Would you just stay right where you are and let's do another program and we'll let our listeners hear it next time. Tell me again the titles of your books because I want people to know how they can get them.
First book is the true story of my undercover career, The Last Undercover. It was published in October 2008, and then I have the novel out, Enemies Among Us, and the second in that series is releasing June of 2011 called Targets Down.
You're a fascinating man with an incredible history. Let's talk some more in just a few minutes, and we'll record that.
Thanks, Dr. Dobson. I'd love to.
Well, we've undoubtedly addressed a pretty serious issue today here on Family Talk. We're grateful to Mr. Bob Hamer, as well as really all of the FBI agents, policemen, security folks out there who so willingly put themselves in dangerous assignments to protect our families against those who would do us harm. And Ryan, of course, you know, while it's not our goal to instill paranoia in the hearts of parents, we've got to be aware of the dangers that are lurking around our children.
Luann, that's why. why, as we mentioned earlier, having an open line of communication with your children will clue you in mm-hmm. when something is amiss in your child's life. In fact, we have several resources at our website that offer practical wisdom and biblical truth for today's parents. Something that's been helpful to me that you can find there is the Parenting Collection by my dad, Dr. Dobson, and you can find those at myfamilytalk.com. Also there, you can find more about Mr. Bob Hamer and the books he just mentioned, and listen to today's program as well as all of the Family Talk broadcasts. Again, that's myfamilytalk.com.
It's so important that we provide resources like this for parents, Ryan. Otherwise, you hear a discussion of this nature and, and terror just wells up in you.
That's right.
So again, I would highly recommend the Parenting Collection by Dr. Dobson as preventative medicine. One last time, myfamilytalk.com, or give us a call for that information, 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. While you're on the line, ask about the matching program that's going on right now. Wonderful opportunity for you to double the impact of your gift here to the Ministry of Family Talk.
Thanks for joining us, and make plans to tune in tomorrow as we hear the conclusion of our interview with Mr. Bob Hamer here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.